Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is Game 5 day for the Predators. Back in Vancouver, this is a must-win game. As we spent so much time over the past couple of months, is it a must-win? Well, it's not technically a must-win. This is a must-win.
Oh, yeah, it's damn sure a must-win.
You need to win this one. Yeah. You need to win this one. And although I don't have a lot of hope that the Predators are going to be able to win three games in a row, can you make things interesting? Can you bring it back to Nashville on Friday? We'll get back into your thoughts on that. We'll get back into our thoughts on that. But first, we're talking receivers, and we're talking Treylon Burks, and I can hear everything that Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan is saying in the offseason, how hard Treylon Burks is working, how excited and encouraged they are for Treylon Burks. I can hear that, but I can't put all of my eggs in the Treylon Burks basket. We've been there. We now have a two-year sample size of Treylon Burks not being consistently available. What's your best ability? It's your availability. Mm-hmm. So we can hope that Treylon Burks takes that next step forward. We can hope that Treylon Burks is in a Tennessee Titans uniform and is a 1,000-plus yard seasons for the foreseeable future, and that'd be great. But hope's not a strategy in the National Football League. So I think we need to revisit a conversation that we had pre-free agency when we talked about the Titans building their wide receiving core. Because I don't think that Calvin Ridley is enough, nor do I think a sixth-round selection is enough to build up this wide receiving core. You know, if Treylon Burks can be your wide receiver three, then great. I cannot count on that. We talked a lot about Tyler Boyd, pre-free agency teammates, that was a name that was coming up. Obviously, the connections with Brian Callahan in Cincinnati. And my answer to that was always, okay, yeah, Tyler Boyd's great and all, but what else? Because D-Hop and Tyler Boyd and, you know, Treylon Burks and Mason McKenzie and Kyle Phillips, that's not enough in your receiving core. You need a certified number two, and Tyler Boyd's not that. Even you need a certified number one if D-Hop's not going to be your number one. I was looking at an article on Pro Football Network, looking at some of the best fits for some free agents right now. Ryan Tannehill's in it, too. Ryan Tannehill to Detroit, they say. Their best fit for Tyler Boyd is the Tennessee Titans, matching him with Calvin Ridley and with DeAndre Hopkins, where he can be that number three that he's been in Cincinnati. And, of course, you have a play caller and a head coach and Brian Callahan that knows how Tyler Boyd ticks, what makes him work, how he fits in best in this offense. I would be willing to readdress the Tyler Boyd conversation of potentially bringing him in on a short-term, low commitment, not a ton of money deal, but to bring him in here to be that certified number three, Treylon Burks insurance.
Bringing him in as a Treylon Burks insurance. Because
if Treylon Burks gets hurt again,
yeah,
which he's been hurt consistently the last 2 years that he's been with the Titans, who's your three?
Yeah, who is your three? I know you still got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine on, and I like Nick as a receiver. So, I mean, listen, Nick can fit in that three role. That's where he's been, you know, his short career. He's been the three, and he's done a good job at being a three, so much so they re-signed him back. So, obviously, they like him.
He is the face of reliability.
Yeah, he is. But I'm looking at Tyler Boyd, and even with Brian Callahan as the offensive coordinator in quotations in Cincinnati, even though we know technically, you know, he was by title, but
not in play calling.
Yeah, Taylor was calling the plays. Tyler Boyd had 667 yards, two touchdowns. How many catches did he have? 67 catches. They got Chig for that. They got Wiley for that. If I bring in the third wide receiver, I need a little bit more than that. Even though that's good. That's good. Like, that's solid.
For a three, yeah. I'd take that any day of the week.
But in an offense where Jamar Chase was down, T. Higgins was in and out of rotation as far as the games because his availability because of his injury. You were never able to step your game up. because injuries will happen.
And also keep in mind who was also in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, the quarterback too. But this is a pass-centric team. They're going to run the football, but they're spreading out three wide receivers, mm-hmm. and they're trying to get a matchup. They're trying to get a mismatch somewhere. And you were a part of the offense. They targeted you 90-something times, almost 100 times. So they made you a focal part of the offense.
Yeah.
I think that could be Treylon Burks. I think the 90-something times can be Treylon Burks or the 80 times. In between, let's say in between 65 to 85, 90 targets. I'm saying targets. Mm-hmm. That should be Treylon. I think Traylon's upside is a lot better than Tyler Boyd. We know who Tyler Boyd is.
The upside, absolutely. But also, that's why you're bringing him in. Is Treylon Burks insurance. If Treylon Burks can't take that next step, mm-hmm. if Treylon Burks can't stay healthy, which he hasn't mm-hmm. been able to the last two seasons, and you can say, well, it's not his fault he got the concussions. I know, but whether it's his fault or not, he hasn't been available. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would bring in Tyler Boyd. One, to kind of push Treylon Burks mm-hmm. a little bit of, look, we aren't holding our breath for you, that we've got to take care of our team and do what we need to do. But also the insurance of if Treylon Burks isn't able to stay healthy.
I think the insurance is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. That's the insurance. That's why they signed Nick Westbrook-Ikhine back. To me, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is Tyler Boyd. That's who he is. He's a solid receiver. He's younger than Tyler Boyd. He knows what you want out of that particular position, the third receiver. He knows the quarterback. So if they bring in Tyler Boyd, great. I wouldn't sit there and say, no. If they bring him in, great. Yeah. But they have Tyler Boyd on this roster already. They have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who is their Tyler Boyd. He's the fourth/third receiver. Tyler Boyd would be the fourth/third receiver.
They have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as the insurance in title, technically. Uh-huh. But if you give me Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Tyler Boyd, you give me the option of the two when I'm building my team, I'm taking Tyler Boyd.
I'm not taking Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd numbers have declined every year since 2019.
And he's not going to be your receiver one for the next 10 years.
I don't even want him to be my receiver three. I got to pay. How much money do I got to pay him to be the wide receiver three, four, or maybe even five?
I don't think that you would have to pay him a lot just because he's still a free agent. Like, he's still on the market.
Yeah, I wouldn't bring him in. I wouldn't bring him in until after camps are over. If that's when I need to find out who my three guys are, who my four guys are. They're going to bring in – they drafted a receiver. They got Colton Dowell from last year. They're going to bring in more bodies. They're going to have the bodies. I need to find out if the four guys – because they're really – it's like four guys they are really counting on. I know they expect Colton Dowell to make a progression. I get that. I understand that. And I'm sure they – in their minds, there may be a plan. There is a plan for him. I don't know exactly what that plan and what it entails. There's a plan for him.
Well, let's be fair. He's a seventh-round pick injury. Temper our expectations for Colton Dowell here.
Absolutely. And then you just drafted the kid Jackson out of Louisville. So Tulane. So you want to make sure right now, from now – until the end of cap, because Tyler Boyd ain't going nowhere. If nobody's, everybody else is waiting too. I would be surprised if he signed in the month of June. I would be. It's more like July down the line. Just like some of these safeties that are still out there, some of them I don't expect to get signed right now. I expect them to get signed in July, maybe even August.
And I expect the Titans to sign one of them.
Exactly.
Whenever, I don't know.
Be late June or maybe right as they're entering camp. I think that's the same with Tyler Boyd. See what you have. Go through practices, mini camps, regular camps. He's not going nowhere. I'm telling you, he's not going. I would be surprised if somebody, unless he just took the league minimum and said, I just want to be on the team right now.
Yeah.
He'll find the team. But if he's holding out for a dollar number, then he's going to be there for a minute. Okay? So don't rush. Find out what you have now. Let these practices go on, and if you see that Traylon's not the guy or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is not the guy or you need that fifth receiver, then you sort of tap into that. But there's no need for you to tap into it now. Let me see what we got first before I go and start paying somebody else, you know, at that position.
But don't you know what you have in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine?
You don't know what you have under this system.
It's a new system.
Yeah, it's a new system. He may flourish in this system. We don't know. I mean, when I say flourish, I mean he will be better in this system than he was in the last. He will be
flourish within the confines of the Nick Westbrook
exactly.
Kinney expectations.
Confines within the third or fourth receiver.
Right.
I think he will flourish a little bit more. He could potentially flourish a little bit more under this new system. That's why you want to see what do we have here.
I can already hear Paul Kuharsky saying, Nick Westbrook Akina, he has an explosive. What an explosive offense. Nick Westbrook Akina, he has an explosive. And look, I don't disagree.
I'm not asking for Nick Westbrook Akina to be explosive, but.
They want this offense to be explosive.
Tell me when he's, there's probably a one really. That one in the end zone where I thought he should have caught a touchdown pass and he ended up dropping it. That's probably the only pass, and I could be wrong on this, That's probably the only pass that I've seen that Nick Westbrook-Akina has dropped that the Titans needed. Every other time the Titans needed him.
Whenever the Titans need something, they don't go to Nick Westbrook-Akina.
No, they have. Watch these games. When they need critical third downs or sometimes or plays to be made, Nick Westbrook-Akina is the guy that makes them. It doesn't happen all the time. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When they need him, he's come up with big catches. That's all I'm saying about Nick Westbrook-Akina. So you can scream that he's not explosive all you want to, which you're probably right. But when the Titans need him to make a play, he makes it for them. You don't just catch the ball, man. And that's all he does is catch the ball.
Just catch the ball. I'm still... Whether it's Tyler Boyd or another receiver in free agency, I just lean toward Tyler Boyd because of the familiarity with
Ryan
Callahan.
And I think that's what everybody else, like they say he's a perfect fit because of the familiarity.
It's a fair, you know, match to make. Whether it's Tyler Boyd or another wide receiver in free agency, a veteran wide receiver in free agency, that you're not going to commit yourself to a four-year deal or, you know, a $20 million deal. No, no, no. It would be low commitment. It wouldn't be for a ton of money. And it would just be, look, we need you to go out there and make plays if we can't get that from Treylon Burks and if we can't get that from some of our young guys. You got to have some insurance.
But that's why you wait. You wait until July or you wait until August. Because then now I know, like, okay, I got the picture is coming in clear that maybe this guy can't operate as the fourth or third receiver. Maybe this guy can't. Okay, now Tyler Boyd is there. Now we ramp up the talks with Tyler Boyd and his agent. But right now, there's no need to ramp up the talks.
You don't have to call him today.
You don't have to call. I wouldn't call him until I know for sure, like late July, August. And I see things ain't going the way I want them to go, then I'm like, okay, we need to make these calls.
But I thought I knew for sure that Treylon Burks was going to be able to be an impact player last season, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, when he went down versus Minnesota, it just everything just kind of snowballed and went downhill somewhat.
When I get into your thoughts on this, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle's on the line with a thought on Treylon Burks. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing Treylon come back. I want to see something out of him. What would y'all think about him as a big red zone target? I mean, just a big body, run that fade route, go up and get it, those big hands, use that big butt of his to box him out. I mean, that's the only thing I can really see that he can give us right now because I don't see him as a complete receiver. And I got another thing for you, too. Why haven't we signed Pete, the offensive tackle, yet? I mean, as bad as our line has been the past 2 years, we could use about two or three more just in case. I want to overload on that. I know he wants some money, but if you're going to invest in something, please invest in an O-line for Will. We won't know if we have a quarterback if he's on his back.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you in the slightest. Great call, Kyle. In terms of Andrus Pete, give me all the tackles, every single one of them.
Just keep on bringing them in.
Like when Rand Carthon said we feel good about guys in our locker room that can play left tackle, or maybe it was Brian Callahan. I can't remember, but like I'm like, who?
Yeah, who? Like who?
Dylan Radins?
Yeah, I guess y'all see somewhere we don't see, and
Jesus,
typically it's
take
that way.
The wheel. If Dylan Radins is your left tackle. So yeah, no, I would be in on Andrus Pete. Your thoughts on Treylon Burks as a red zone target?
They could use him as a red zone target. You know, they didn't use him at all the last two seasons as a red zone target. Hell, they didn't use D-Hop much as a red zone target last year either. I know they probably designed some plays for him to get the ball in the red zone, but it just didn't materialize probably the way they wanted it to, or either, you know, or even D-Hop wanted it to. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they tried to target D-Hop in the red zone. I'm not sure if they tried to target Trey in the red zone. You would just assume that 6'3", big body guy, that he would be more of an impact in the red zone. Going up against these DBs one-on-one. Just throw the ball up there and let him and see what he can do. But they and believe me, correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to be wrong on this one, mm-hmm. because part I don't want it to think it's just all one-sided here. But I don't think they read. I don't think they targeted trailing in the red zone at all. I could be wrong on this.
I am trying to deliberately target him.
When I'm talking the red zone, I'm talking 10 yards in. And I'm not, the yeah. goal zone, whatever you want to call it, I'm talking 10 yards in where he can use his big body to body up these 6 foot or 5'11", 5'10 cornerbacks. I'm not sure they did that. At least last season, I'm not sure they did that. Now, again,
I don't remember.
If y'all tell me he did, I will stand corrected. But the games that I looked at, nah, he wasn't much. They didn't implement him in the red zone.
They used D-Hop a lot when they went over the middle just to take advantage of D-Hop's height.
Exactly.
I don't remember Treylon Burks getting targeted in the red zone. Again, not to say that it didn't mm-hmm. happen. I just an instance doesn't stand out in my mind.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that shouldn't be the case. That shouldn't be the case where we, both of us, are sitting here. And callers, if there has been times where they deliberately, like, threw him the ball in the red zone, please call in and let us know. Because the games that I watched, especially last season, I don't think that was the case. Mm-hmm. And that's disheartening to realize, like, this guy's 6'3", and y'all didn't target him in the red zone at all last season? I could be wrong. Again, I could be wrong. But that's the way it seems.
Let's get into your thoughts on this. We got Titans thoughts. We got Predators thoughts because it is Game 5 day and puck drop at 9 o'clock in Vancouver. Preds thoughts, Titans thoughts, your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the Game Nashville app. We're about 8 hours away from puck drop, and me just saying that just kind of makes me tired just thinking about it. But it is Game 5.
I'm going to take me a nap.
I need a little bit of a nap, too. I think nap, coffee, all of the above. Predators, Game 5 tonight in Vancouver. Predators find themselves on the wrong end of 3-1. Lose tonight, and you come back to Nashville, and you're going to Cancun. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they want to go to Cancun.
Yeah, if you're coming back to Nashville, please just come back to play another game.
I'm with you, D-May. So we'll get into your thoughts on that. We've got a bunch of thoughts on Treylon Burks, what the Titans do to address the wide receiver position. And we are right into your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have a thought. Chuck Texan says, bringing in a new wide receiver right now is like me saying I want to bring in a new girlfriend and see which one works best for me. It doesn't work. Except that if you have a girlfriend in a monogamous relationship, you get one.
Yeah.
You get one girlfriend. Mm-hmm. You need more than one receiver in the National Football League.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I understand what the texter is alluding to. Yes. That's why I said, you know, I'm not saying I'm opposed to a Tyler Boyd, but let's take this, you know, May, June, July to see what we have. Okay.
Like, we know
what we have. In you know, D-Hop and Burke, mm-hmm. meaning in Ridley. We know what we have. We know, in a sense, what we have in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Now, again, he can't elevate based upon the new offense that the Titans are going to have this season. He can't elevate his game, you know, somewhat. Mm-hmm. So even though we know what we have in Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, there's still room based upon the offense for him to grow. The question mark, obviously, is Treylon Burks. Yeah. And I know, as well as they know that Treylon Burks has the talent.
Totally.
They've seen it. In you know, it's been sporadic, but they've seen it in the last 2 years.
That's why he's a first-round pick.
Here and there. Even after they drafted him, they've seen moments in games where, okay, that's what we drafted him for. That reason right there, or in practice, that's why we drafted him. But there's still a question mark, which these next two or three months gives us an opportunity to, meaning the Titans, give them an opportunity to erase that question mark and make it an exclamation mark or a period or whatever, or just like, he's not the guy for us. We need to bring in somebody else. So you have these couple of months to do it. Again, you don't have to rush to sign a Tyler Boyd, because I do believe Tyler Boyd will still be there. But in a new offense, new offensive coordinator, new head coach, let's see if we can maximize the talent in Treylon Burks. The last regime didn't do it, couldn't do it, whatever. Let's see what we can do. So we're going to give this 3-4 months, because again, we're not starting the season. We're just trying to figure out who's where and what, and how we're going to, you know, run this offense, and who's going to be our guys within this offense. The next couple of months will sort of make that clear for you, because I'm talking July when camp start, August as we get into camp, and preseason games. That's when you typically see guys being signed. Guys like a Tyler Boyd is either during camp because somebody goes down.
Yeah.
Or after camp when they figure, oh, man, that ain't our third receiver, or that ain't our fourth. We know what Tyler Boyd. See, the good part about it is they know who Tyler Boyd is. They don't need
and
him.
And he knows this offense.
Exactly. And he knows the offense, so we don't need to rush him in here.
The only thing for me would be he knows the offense. Mm-hmm. Brian Callahan knows him. He doesn't know
exactly
Will Levis.
Will Levis, yeah.
And Will Levis doesn't know him.
Exactly.
If you're thinking of bringing in another receiver, which I think that they should, I think that there are just too many question marks outside of DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley to feel comfortable going into the season with this current wide receiving core. I'd want Tyler Boyd to have some time to build that chemistry with Will Levis. Will Levis is still a young quarterback.
Yeah, he's still a young quarterback. But my thing is that I understand the rapport, but I don't need – it's not imperative for me to bring him in within the next 2 to 3 months. It's really not. I understand the you know, getting him acclimated with the quarterback, but they can do that, you know, in July, late July, August. Hell, I've seen receivers come in during camp or after camp, and they pick up where they left off, and then, you know, they kind of go and they somehow, some way, you know, find that rapport with the quarterback that they need. I'm not saying it can't happen. If they don't sign him early, it still can happen. If they choose to sign him late July, August, he still can build up that rapport with the quarterback. But for me, I want to know, as they do too, I'm sure, they're going to take these next couple of months, not to say they're not going to bring in guys, but they're going to take these next couple of months to figure out who's going to be the guys and who are not, who's not. And if the ones that aren't, we need to bring in other guys that are going to be. That typically doesn't happen until late July.
And look, the free agents that they sign in this next wave, it's going to be beyond wide receiver.
Uh-huh.
Like, you need more tackles.
Yeah.
You need a safety.
Mm-hmm.
I would say bring in more linebackers. Like, you need more bodies. They're not done signing in free agency, but I would add wide receiver to that list as well. But Andrew Texan says, D-Mace, is Tyler Boyd good, or does he benefit from other receivers getting all of the attention?
Well, Tyler Boyd is a good receiver. This is a guy that, you know, he's had back-to-back 1,000-yard years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that was before they went and got Chase and T. Higgins. It might have been the last year. It might have been when they got T. Higgins, and then that year he had the 1,000-yard, his second 1,000-yard season. Then when they got Chase, everything sort of went down after that.
He had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 2018 and 2019, and then they brought T. Higgins in
exactly.
In the 2020 draft.
Yeah, so once they brought T. Higgins in and then they went and got Chase, his production dropped each and every year after that. So I think Tyler Boyd is a good receiver, but I know what he is, so there's no rush for me to hurry up and bring him in. I know what he is. I know what he brings to the table. Let me see what we have here. And I know people are saying, well, you've had 2 years to figure it out with Treylon Burks. Well, that was 2 years under somebody else. Now this is the first year under us, meaning the coaching staff, not the GM, even though the GM said this is truly his first year. I get it. But
me too.
This is the coaching staff first year with Treylon. So let's see what he can do.
And I think that it's a fair point, mm-hmm. absolutely, because it's a new regime, it's a new system, but what doesn't change is the injury. Doesn't matter who the coach is, who's doing the picking, who's the GM is. You know, if you are injury prone, you're injury prone, whether it's your fault or not. Yeah. And unfortunately, Treylon Burks has been on the receiving end of just some unfortunate injuries. But Ron Texan says, so can any wide receiver or tight end ask for the ball if they feel like they can make a play or they feel like they're in a mismatch on their opponent, or do you have to earn the right to ask for the ball?
Well, obviously, what comes first is earning the right. Mm-hmm. That comes first. And then you can ask for the ball as much as you want to. Or if you're a first rounder, you can ask for the ball. You're first rounder. They should want to get you the ball, right? Well, you should ask for the ball. You scream for the ball. But no, I understand what the texter is saying. Yes, typically it's you earn the right to get the ball. And then if you're not getting it, then you can say, hey, give me the ball. Don't forget about me. I'm over here by myself. Hey, don't forget about me.
Hello.
Hello, I'm here. I'm in the uniform. I got your helmet on. Throw me the ball. So I know what the texter is alluding to. He's basically saying Treylon hasn't earned the right. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to sort of litigate that portion, because I'm not going to say you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm not, because he does. Again, this is not a one-way street. This is a two-way street. As much blame as I have put on the Titans, the last regime, for not getting in the ball, I've always said Treylon has to do his part too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Treylon has to, they got to know, you asked this question about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Does he want it? And that's a question I can't answer. That's a question our callers or our texters can't answer. That's the question Treylon, the only person that can answer that question. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I'm scared about. Because that's like, is this person, you know, what type of person? Well, I don't know what type of person they are, you know, other than what I've seen.
Yeah.
But there's a part of, like, that's the scary part, because I don't know. You know, that's the part I can't tell you whether this person would do that or this. And that's sort of like the part that it's like, oh, my goodness. Yeah, you may be right. Mm-hmm. Like, so they may be right. I don't know. You may be right, Caroline. But I don't know.
And I'm not saying he doesn't.
Exactly. But that is the question. Yeah. Like, you got all the physical ability. Like, you have the traits of a receiver. Like, if I was building a receiver, he would be 6'3", 220, 4'4", 4'5", speed, longer. Treylon has all that. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Do you want it? Like, that's a serious question that neither one of us can answer. But that is a question that you need to answer.
If you want to ask, it's yours for the taking.
Exactly.
Take it.
And that's what the Titans are trying to figure out, I think. Prove to them you want it.
Mm-hmm.
You prove to them you want it, they will give it to you.
We've seen this a lot of conversation of questioning if Treylon Burks has the dog. And I think that's the want. Like,
that's the burning
desire of, like, I'm winning this matchup. I'm getting this ball. I'm carving out my role. I have a text that's going to make you mad, D-Mace.
Go ahead.
Hair Metal Henry Texan says, I'm writing sorrows the rest of the way, but pulling him for Lincoln is really not so far-fetched. Willie can tell you it was not that long ago that Corey Crawford got yanked in game 2 or 3 and Scott Darling shut them down and bounced them for the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Lankinen.
I like Lankinen. Yeah, I know I like Lankinen.
He's not your guy.
But he's not my guy. He's not my guy. Again, I'm not going to argue with anybody. I'm just standing on business with UC. I'm standing on business with UC Sorrow, with Sorrows, okay? You can't tell me nothing. I'm going to be that parent that my kid is bad as hell, but it's everybody else's fault but my kid. I'm going to be that way with UC Sorrows. With Sorrows. That it's not his fault. I don't care what y'all say. It's not UC's fault. Let's go somewhere else.
So my thing with Sorrows is, of the list of blame or reasons why the Predators find themselves down 3-1, Sorrows is pretty low on that list.
Yeah, he is. But I know that
he hasn't been playing to the level that we
better.
Know.
Exactly. He needs to play better. There's no excuse for that. He did let in a soft goal the first game of the series. I get that. But I don't think the Predators' problems are solely UC Sorrows. I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. So I think he hasn't played the way we have seen him play, that we have come accustomed to him playing. I know he hasn't played up to that level, but he has played winning goalie. He has been on a winning goalie level this series. Some of those goals were, that first one was a soft one, but after that, I don't think he's given up any soft goals. They've been...
Yeah, the Lindholm goal in game one is the one that I'm like...
That's the one, like seriously, Yussi?
You
like,
make that save.
Exactly. That's a save you make routinely, but you didn't. And that's your fault.
And you need to make those
exactly.
saves.
But after
especially
that,
if you want to make $8 million for the next 8 years. You
but
need
after
to make
that,
those saves.
Yussi, if it was up to me, I'd give you the $8 million. If it was up to me, I give you eight. I maybe
D-base
even give you nine.
Manager.
Yeah, I give you nine just because.
D-base is
but
like
it's not
carte
up to
blanche.
Me. Yeah.
Whatever you want. You want 20? You get 20. Like Oprah.
You want another million? I'll give you another million.
You get a million. You get a million. I don't think that Saros has been egregiously bad in this series. Like, how about you don't break down defensively in front of the net with 6 seconds left
exactly.
in the game? How about we do that? Mm-hmm. How about, you know, and I'm not blaming Colton Sissons, but, like, you got an empty net. Like,
how
about you make that? We're talking
about
a much different story.
How about you hit the net? But I get it.
And I will be the first one to say that I think that we need to do some serious introspection and serious, you know, breaking down of Yussi Saros' play if we're going to be talking about a second contract.
Oh,
we're
going to
do that after this series. Mm-hmm. But Yussi Saros has not been – the sole reason why you're down 3-1. If that was the case, I would say, yeah, put Lincoln in it. Mm-hmm. Like, make whatever changes necessary. But, like, Tommy Novak, like, how about you do something?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Roman Josi, love ya.
But
you're not playing to the level that a superstar player needs to play at in the playoffs. And he is a superstar player. So, not putting all the blame on Yussi Saros. Okay, coming up next, our official picks and predictions, what we expect to happen, what we want to see tonight from the Nashville Predators in Game 5. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Game 5 tonight. Win?
Yes.
You come back to Nashville to play Game 6 on Friday. Lose?
You
done.
Come back to Nashville to go home.
You're done.
Come back
Dunzo.
To Nashville to take a vacation.
Gentlemen's sweep.
I hope that don't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen too, for several reasons.
Exactly.
But one being, you are a stone's throw away from being up 3-1 in this series.
Yeah.
And then turning around and losing in 5? Like, we had a caller earlier talk about how elite and how great of a team Vancouver is. And look, Vancouver's a good team. Mm-hmm. They've got superstars. You can tell the size and speed difference on the ice. That the advantage goes to Vancouver. But even with all of that, like, the Predators have outplayed Vancouver for a majority of the series. Not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game that they looked their worst, they won.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't feel fair, and I know sports aren't fair, and I don't mean to be whiny and say, well, it's not fair that they lose in 5, but it just doesn't feel like they've played too well to go home this early.
Yeah.
But even still, I don't feel very optimistic. But what do you want to see tonight, T-Mason?
Gosh. You know, I think, well, I know. I want to see how they come out the first, you know, 5 to 7 minutes of the first period, because it seems like they've gotten themselves in trouble. The first 5 to 7 minutes of a few games in this series. So especially them going back home, the Vancouver crowd, they know that we can end this tonight. So that crowd is going to be, it's going to be a fever pitch. It's just going to be loud and screaming and yelling, and those white towels are going to be waving in Vancouver. How do you overcome that? That's the first 5 to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, that's what I want to see. How do you overcome that? Or is it still a sense of shell shock from the last game? I think that first 5 to 7 minutes is going to be critical for the Nashville Predators.
Well, we've seen how much of a swing it can be and how quickly Vancouver can score.
Oh, absolutely.
I do want to see lineup changes tonight. Mm-hmm. I want to see Yusso Parsonen in and Tommy Novak out. Tommy Novak, through four games, has given you nothing. And you cannot get nothing out of a second-line player. And look, if Juuso Parsonen goes out there and he struggles and the game is too fast and too physical for him, I can live with that. What I can't live with is continuing to try to make something work that hasn't been working. It is put up or shut up today. Like, it all comes down to tonight. And if you continue to get nothing from Tommy Novak, and that ultimately costs you opportunities, well, I can't blame anybody but yourself, because you were the one that decided to continue with going with what is not working. So I do want to see Juuso Parsonen in there in place of Tommy Novak. And look, Tommy Novak's a good player, and you just signed him to a contract extension. So it's not going to be like a crossroads of Tommy Novak's future with the Predators. But like, I need to win this game.
Yeah.
And I need to get everything. I need to get as much out of all of the guys on the ice as possible. So I do want to see a lineup change. I also have to see something more from the power play.
Mm-hmm.
1 for 15
that is
on the power play.
That is inexcusable.
Inexcusable, especially from a coach that his claim to fame is the power play. Mm-hmm. 1 for 15 on the power play, not good enough. And look, Vancouver hasn't been much better.
Mm-hmm.
They have two power play goals. They now have 2 6-on-5. They have two power play goals, but I'm not worried about what they're doing on their power play.
Mm-hmm.
You're not taking those advantages, those man advantages that you have on the power play. So I want to see that tonight. And I want to be proven wrong, because I don't have a lot of faith. I don't have a whole lot of optimism for what the Predators can do the rest of the series. But you can't win three games tonight. You can win one.
Yeah. The first 5 to 7 minutes of the game and the last 5 minutes of the game. I do believe that's going to be the difference between the Predators coming home for game, what would it be, 5?
6.
6. Game 6, or they're coming home to ultimately get ready for vacation. I think the first 7 minutes and the last 5 minutes of this game coming up tonight.
We don't want to go to Cancun.
Oh, no, I don't want to. I ain't going. But I don't want them to go.
I don't want you to go to Cancun.
Yeah, I want them to be here next week.
Puck drop.
Or this week.
Puck drop at 9 p.m. tonight. Game 5, put up or shut up. It all comes down to this. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. with a full Predators breakdown. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love, love on your people. Happy Tuesday, and let's go, Preds. UC Soros, you the man. Let's do it tonight. Peace.